My sermon this morning is very practical. It is very down to earth. I call it Start Right. Start Right. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Start Right. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Once you arrive there, find verse number 20. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 20. And once you have found that verse, would you stand with me, please? We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 20. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid." Now skip down to verse 48 of the same chapter. I'll begin reading again at verse 48. "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead, and they fled." The sermon is called Start Right. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to speak to our hearts. But, you know, I could pray and pray and pray and ask God to speak to my heart, and I could ask God to speak to your heart. But the most powerful prayer would be that if you would pray and ask God to speak to your heart. See, if you don't want Him to, it makes it pretty difficult because He won't force Himself upon you. So, as I pray aloud, you pray silently and in your heart. And let's ask God to get involved so we've just not showed up at church and we leave having not accomplished anything. Maybe if we get God involved, we can accomplish that purpose, which is the supernatural purpose of a meeting such as this. And let's pray. Father, bless us today with Thy presence. Holy Spirit of God, reach down to our weak, fleshly hearts and squeeze them. Help us to learn today. May we grow. May we leave this place with something that will enrich our lives, and something that will glorify You in us. Dear God, meet with us in a special way, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:20, it speaks of David and Goliath. And it starts the story by saying David rose up early in the morning. We find out that the children of Israel were in battle with the Philistine army. David had actually, he was a younger man, and he had gone to visit the battle. His older brothers were already at this battle between God's host, the Israelites, and the Philistines. The Philistines, many of you have heard the story before, they had a champion by the name of Goliath, Goliath of Gath. If you really studied it, you would find that he was at least 9 foot 9 inches tall. That giant, Goliath, was mocking God's army. So the enemies got this big old goon, 9 foot 9 inches tall, and he is mocking God's army. The Bible says in verse number 29, "And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" So here's young David. He's at the battle site, and this great big 9 foot 9 inch tall Philistine is mocking God's army, and David says, you know, somebody ought to do something about this. But David's brothers say, now, David, you're just a young man. Now you don't need to get involved. And David said, somebody need to shut this guy's mouth. I mean, look at him. He's mocking God. He's mocking God's people. And David was just courageous enough. The other men said, well, you better talk to Saul. So, of course, Saul was king, and he was the captain of their army. And they said, well, we're going to take you to see Saul. So David goes to see Saul, and David's upset. And he said, somebody needs to help us. And look right this way. Somebody needs to help us and take care of this guy by the name of Goliath. And Saul said, well, son, what makes you think that you could help us? And David said, well, I was attending to my dad's sheep back home, and a bear came out of the woods. And David said, I took care of that bear. I slaughtered that bear with my bare hands. And Saul said, my, that's incredible. And David said, not only that, a lion came, and a lion tried to get one of my father's flock, and I had to fight the lion. And Saul said, oh, my. You obviously know how to handle yourself in battle or in dangerous situations. And Saul said, well, son, if you think you're going to go out and fight this big guy, you know, he's 9'9" tall, and if you think you're going to go fight him, you don't even have any armor. And Saul said, let me give you my armor. Now, so you all understand, David was a young man. Saul was, the Bible says, head and shoulders above all men. In other words, he's probably a foot and a half taller than everybody else in the army. So I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine Saul is going to give his armor to David now. So you've got David, who's probably a relatively average-sized guy, an older teenager, a young adult. And then you've got Saul that is 18 inches taller than everybody else in the kingdom. So, you know, Saul takes his extra, 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 extra large jacket, you know, and puts it on David, who is a boy's large. And they take that armor and set it over him, and they can take it and spin it, you know, and that armor, and David said, oh my, this isn't going to do me any good. And you can imagine the helmet came all the way over his head, so he's in there going, oh God. So now he's got this helmet on that's too big. He's got this this chest plate that's too big. And David said, look, I can't fight with this. I'm used to being on the backside of the wilderness, and let me take care of this my way. And Saul said, well, son, whatever you say. And so David, he steps out of the quarters where Saul is. He reaches down to the ground, picks him up 5 nice smooth stones, puts it in his pocket, got his slingshot in his back pocket, and you can just picture it, you know, like Opie on Mayberry RFD. Here he goes. He's going back out to the battleground. He gets there, and Goliath mocks David. He calls him a boy, actually says to Saul, you're sending a boy to do a man's job. And David pulls out his sling, loads up one rock, gives it a whirl, and he hits Goliath right between the eyes. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, the armor would have covered everything. There would even, it was about the only place you could have hit him with the way his helmet would have been. But he hit him right between the eyes. David hit Goliath with that stone with his sling. The Bible says that big old Goliath falls to the ground. David didn't even have a sword. So he had to go out, and you've seen in battle where they put their foot on the opponent and, you know, raised high their sword. He had to go out and borrow Saul's sword. He waxed, he borrowed Goliath's sword, and he waxed Goliath's head off, and he holds it up, and he is the victor. And here's just this young kid I don't think David was 12 or 13 years of age. I think he was if he was a teenager, he was an older teenager. But now, here he has done, actually, a boy had to do a man's job. The men weren't standing up to do it. But there's something incredible in this story to me, and it's such a practical little tidbit, but it is worthy of our attention today. I think I could trace back at least a portion of the victory for David against this giant. I trace it back to these words. In 1 Samuel 17:20, it says, and David rose up early in the morning. Here's what I think. If you were about to fight a Goliath, it might be good that you get a good start to your day. David, the Bible says he got up early. What's it saying? David, he got started right. Now, he got started right, and I believe as a result of David starting right, he finished right. David started right, and rather than being the loser, he was the winner. David started right. Instead of finishing in last place, he finished in first place. David started right, which helped him then to finish right. David had a good start to his day. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why some of you cannot conquer the giants in your life. You don't conquer the giants in your life because you don't get a good start on the things of life that would help you to conquer those giants. In many areas of life, a good start would make all the difference in the world for your life. When I was growing up, my mother, she used to harp me. She would say, "Son, you need to start your morning out with a good breakfast. You need a good start to your day." Now, how many of you ever heard your mom say something like that? And you know something? There's a little more truth to that than what I think we realize. A good start leads to a good finish. I think all of us need to start right. Lester Roloff said, "What you do before sunup determines whether you'll have victory before sundown." He also said this. He said, "If you start early in the morning growling, you'll be dog tired by the end of the day." Roloff said, "We don't end right because we don't start right." A simple concept, but a true concept. We need to start right. All of us need to start right. And now, let me make this even more practical, if I could. For instance, you need a good start, or you need to start right at the every day of your life. Start right every day. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord." The psalmist said, "God, when I get up in the morning, you're going to hear from me." What was the psalmist doing? He said, "I'll start with God. I want to start right." Can I recommend to everybody in here that you start your day with some time in your Bible? Let God's Word fix you up before you start your day. There are people under the sound of my voice who you promised at the beginning of the year you're going to try to read your Bible through this year. Try to get back on track, stay on schedule. But you know that you're starting your day and getting a little of the Word of God in you first, it's better than eggs and bacon and sausage and orange juice and a cup of coffee. You need to start right. Now, the reason why some of you don't end your day in a spiritual way is because you didn't start your day in a spiritual way. Start right. Don't give God the leftovers in your life. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to start your day in the Bible. It wouldn't hurt you to start your day in prayer. A time of prayer gets you ready for the day. Talk to God about your day. Ask God to give you a good day. Hey, I think it's better for you to talk to God in the morning before you talk to any other human being. I think it is better for you to read your Bible in the morning before you read anything else. The policy is, in my life, I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is I don't look at my telephone to see who texts me. I did not go and check my email. I don't turn on the television to find out what the weather's going to be. And all those things are interesting to me. I'm as interested in those things as you are, but I want to have a good day. So to have a good day, I need to have a good start. So the first thing I do is I go get my Bible out and I let God talk to me. And then I pray and I talk to God. Then I check my text, and then I check my email, and then I find out it's going to rain again today. Start your day outright. Some of you would have a better day if you would start your day with God. Start it in prayer. Start it in your Bible. I'll tell you this also. I'll tell you something that would help some of you have a better day. Start your day with a song. Psalm 118, verse 24, says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, that psalm is a song. I would recommend, and there's some of you, you really need this. Some of you struggle with your spirit. Some of you struggle with your spirit going to work. You go to work and it kind of gets you down and you've got the negatives of work. You get up in the morning and you'd read your Bible and you'd pray. You'd be starting in the right direction. And maybe you ought to just pick a good spiritual song to sing throughout the day. Maybe it is to take Psalm 118, verse 24 and sing, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You could pick a song, whether you want to sing Amazing Grace, or you want to sing Jesus Loves Me, or you want to sing some other song. It might do you good if you started the day with a good song. Now, you've started your day and you read your Bible, and you started your day and you prayed, and you started your day and you found a little song that might help carry you through the day. I believe many Christians do not conquer the Goliaths during their day because they didn't do what David did. The Bible says David rose up early in the morning. And what is God teaching us? You got to start right if you want to win victories throughout your day. Don't wake up to some filthy radio station. Wake up to something good and pure and wholesome. I don't know how this happens, and it is by God's mercy and by God's grace. I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I say every morning as I say, "Good morning, Lord, I love you. Let's get started." I go get my Bible and I read. I pray for you. And then I check my text, I check my emails, and I find out that it's going to rain again today. That's what I do. Now, some of you need to start right in your day. But not only that, may I recommend, there's some of you that are newer Christians. You've just been saved a short while. Hey, as a new Christian, start right. You've been saved, now start right. Proverbs 8:17 speaks of those that seek me early shall find me. God said, those that seek me early shall find me. Now what happens? God has an order. God says, first thing you do is you get saved. Then after you get saved, what do? God said, you get baptized. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So God said, get saved, get baptized. Then it said, that same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. So God said, get saved, get baptized, join the church. Now, you newer Christians, let me explain it to you. That's God's order for success. That's how you start right. That's how you start right. You get saved, you get baptized, you join the church. That's the way God said. If you want to succeed in your Christian life, start right. You start with salvation. You then immediately get baptized. You join the church. That is God's plan. You will conquer the giants in life, young Christian, if you start right. So you start right in your day by reading your Bible and praying and maybe picking up a song that will carry you through the day. You start right as a new Christian by getting saved and getting baptized and then following through with church membership just like God teaches. Hey, then, you need a good start in the morning when it comes to going to school. Oh, young people, you'll thank me for this. Some of you are glad. I know we're heading toward the end of the year. But let me tell you something. Some of you would do better. And hey, whether this is someone that's in grade school or junior high or high school or even college, you'll have a better day with school if you'll start right. You need to start right. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, joy cometh in the morning. Notice that does not say that God wanted chaos to come in the morning, but joy to come in the morning. Now, I'm speaking to parents. I'm speaking to children. I'm speaking to teenagers. But we have a teacher or two at different levels. Hey, let me tell you something. You want to do better at school, you need to start right. Listen, don't wait till the last minute of the morning to try to get your things ready for school. That causes frustration. If I were you, I'd try to find a pair of socks that match far prior to walking out the door, or you're going to be frustrated. Young people, I hope your parents tell you this, but you should not be doing your homework in the car on the way to school on Monday morning. It would have been better had it been done just a little sooner than that. You say, why? because you're causing frustration. You get up in the morning and you don't have any clothes ready, and you don't have your homework ready, and you don't know where you put your I don't know if you carry your lunch with you, but you don't know where you put your lunch pail, and what ends up happening. You don't start right, and when you don't start right, it makes frustrations through your day. Many young people have a terrible day at school because they start poorly in the morning. And let me tell you, on your way to school, if you ride in the car, if mom and dad take you to school, the last thing you need to do is for all of you to fuss all the way to school. You fuss all the way to school, then you wonder why it is when you get to school and you're in a fussing mood and you end up getting in trouble at school. No, let's start right. I believe if you'll start right when it comes to going to school, you stand a better chance of having a good attitude and learning more at school. I think on the way to school, play some good, godly Christian music. I think you could even sing some on the way to school. When you arrive at school, be friendly, be kind to people. What are we talking about? Start right. There's nothing like starting your day in a bad way. There's nothing like starting your day in a negative way. You will do better as a Christian, especially as a new Christian, if you start right. Get saved, get baptized, join the church. If you're already a Christian and you've been living for God for some time, some of you need to start your day right. Start your day in your Bible. Start your day in your prayer closet. Start your day with a song for God. Hey, when you go to school, start your day right. Have your homework done. Get up in the morning. Be pleasant. Develop a good attitude before you get to school. You can't conquer the giant of bad attitude about school if you start every morning in a terrible way. Now, I realize that there's some of you young people, you pretty well got it figured out. You got to get in the car at 10 till 8 so you can get to school on time. So you set your alarm for 15 till 8. You're figuring in 5 minutes. You can get it all done and get in the car to go. You might want to give yourself just a little more time than 5 minutes. It'd be good if you comb your hair. It'd be good if you put some clothes on that match before you go. It'd be good for all of us if you just brush your teeth. If you don't do any of that, brush your teeth. God knows we want you to. I mean, you watch young people, they'll get up and their hair's sticking up and their clothes are all crooked and messy and they don't, moms and dads get tired of being told, I forgot my homework. I'll tell you why you forgot your homework at home. I'll tell you why you forgot your lunch. You didn't start right. You didn't get up with a plan to succeed at school. I wish I could take 20 minutes and say this. Did you know that if you would like to be on time, you might have to leave a little early to get yourself there on time? I still believe being on time is a character trait that is appropriate for Christians. You ought to learn to be on time. Some of you are going to be late for your own funeral. The rapture is going to come, and you're going to be running behind. Everybody else is going up, and you're saying, I'm coming, just running behind. Start right. Start right. Hey, and when you don't start right, it's frustrating. A bunch of you know exactly what I mean. It's frustrating when you don't start right. Start right as a Christian. Start right as a new convert. Start right for school. Not only that, let me recommend that in marriage, especially those of you that have been married a short time, some will be being, they'll get married soon, start right in your marriage. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. You know what God is doing? God right away started giving instructions on how to start the marriage right. God said, start your marriage right. Start it out right. Newly married people need to make sure that you guard yourself so you stay in church. You know what can happen? A couple gets married, then they get comfortable. They enjoy being married. They enjoy having that time and not living with mom and dad anymore. If they're not careful, they'll get themselves so comfortable, they'll get out of the routine of being in church. You can't not come to church and be right with God. You can't do that. So start right. Young married people, keep yourself in church. Stay involved in the church program. Did you know getting married? God didn't say just because you got married, it's okay not to serve God anymore. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. So be careful that you start right. Start right as a young married couple. And whether it's young or maybe you're older and you get married in life, and maybe your spouse passes away, or for some other reason you marry and you're a little older in life, make sure you get that marriage started out right. Stay in church. I've watched many, many people get married, and you know what happens? They get out of their rhythm, and they just stop serving God. Hey, you know, there's nothing wrong at all in a young marriage that you take some time and read your Bibles together and spend some time and maybe pray together. What is that? Start right. Let me tell you something. Every young married couple here, listen to your pastor for a second and let me help you. When you get married, you handle your finances right at the beginning of your marriage. This will sound harsher than I intend it to, but you just can't have everything you want. And I'm not trying to hurt you. You know, I love you. I want you to have everything you want. I do. I want you to have everything you want. But young people, if you don't start right financially in your marriage, you'll mess yourself up. You say, well, I've got a credit card. Well, goody, goody gumdrops. So, well, they told me they're going to lend me a lot of money down to the bank. The bank does not love you. They'll lend you more than what they probably should. You know what will happen? Is you know, you're an adult now, and you get a little clout with your finances, and you've got a job, and you say, well, I got this credit score, and I'm doing well. And before long, you're spending money, and you're gathering things, and you're spending money. Now, before long, you're both going to be working 60 hours a week, and you're going to try to get it all paid off, and you used to want to be together. Now you got to work all the time. You don't have any time to be together because you're paying all these bills because you spend money unwisely. Just do this. Can I tell you, if you'll handle your finances properly at the beginning of your marriage, later on in life, you'll still get some things, and it will not be as stressful. But whatever you do at the beginning of your marriage, don't go out and get yourself in a financial mess. Get it under control. That means you got to get your passions under control. And I'll tell you this, organize your finances early in life. I've counseled people by the thousands, married people by the thousands, and that's not an exaggeration. Most of the time, now not all the time, most of the time, the issue is not that they're not bringing in enough money. The issue is they don't handle their money properly. They're not organized. They don't control themselves. They don't have a budget. Most people could pay their bills, but they don't pay their bills because you got to organize and restrain yourself to get it done. I've watched people making $300,000 and $400,000 come say, we can't figure it out. There's a lot of financial pressure. And I'm thinking, I know somebody that's making $25,000 and they're paying their bills and you can't pay yours and you make $400,000. What's the problem? It's not how much you're bringing in. It's what you're made of. And so young people, start out right. Start right with those finances in marriage. Start that right. Not only that, hey, I want to recommend this. And this is good for all married couples, but young couples, I think you need to have a date on a regular basis. A date. That's where you take her out and you buy her. And it always doesn't have to be a McDonald's, you know, 49-cent hamburger. Every once in a while, go big. Get her a double cheeseburger. But to every married couple under the sound of my voice, you ought to be dating your spouse. But if you start that early in your marriage, it helps. So I say this morning, Christians, we ought to start our day right in the Word of God, in prayer. Young Christians, start out right. You're saved. Get baptized. Join the church. In the morning for school, start right. Start right so you have a better day at school. In your marriage, start right. Keep yourself in church. Keep yourself involved. Be careful of your finances. Number five, I think you need to start right when it comes to coming to church on Sunday morning, like this morning. Psalm 11, verse 13, it says, prepare thine heart. I have to tell you this. I work at this. I work at this. I work at this for your sake. I want you all to know, I put a force field up around myself just prior to me needing to come to church and preach the Word of God. You say a force field? Uh-huh. I don't want anything to enter my spirit. I don't want anything to enter my attitude that would hinder me from being at my dead level best for the sake of God and for the sake of my church people. I do everything I can to protect my attitude and protect my spirit. Why? I want to, when I get up out of that chair and walk over here, I want to make sure my mind is clear. I want to make sure that I'm able to deliver a sermon that is not all frustrated with the cares of life. And some of you respect this, and in a wonderful way. Look, If there's some issue that needs to be cared for, if you don't have to give it to me as pastor right before I preach, we might be better off. Now, look, if the building's burning down, you probably ought to let me know that's happening, and I want to care for that. But if you seen that we had maybe there was a snake on the property somewhere, and you seen it about 3 weeks ago, and you thought, you know, I needed to get out there and kill it for you this morning. If I could, I'd rather wait till Monday to kill the snake, because right now I've got to preach the Word of God. Well, but I protect my spirit. Why? Because church is important. Did you know it's just as important for you to have the right attitude when you get to church as it is for me to have the right attitude when I get to church? I could have the right attitude when I come to church, and I could preach with the right attitude. But if you got a bad attitude, I guess it's not just the one speaking. It might have something to do with the one hearing what's spoken. A good attitude to start your day out will help you with church. I think everybody should be faithful to church. But let me tell you something. While you're here, it would be a good idea to prepare your heart for when you get here. Is there constant stress for all of you or the people in your family on your way to church? I tell you something, if you wake up on Sunday morning and there's stress, 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 when you get to church, do you have any idea how hard that is to overcome? Sunday school teachers trying to overcome, you're just like this. Wah! And the Sunday school teacher's trying to teach you and love on you and help you. We start church and you just got a million and one frustrations going on. So I wonder, you know, you got one eye going this way and the other eye going that way, and I can't figure out where your brain is halfway in between, and we're trying to preach the Word of God to you. Wouldn't it be good if you prepared your heart for the preaching? Wouldn't it be good that you started right? We, for instance, at our home, you do what you would like. At our house, when our children, we had four kids. By the way, we developed a theme, four and no more. But we had four children growing up, and our children, we got their clothes ready for church on Saturday night, because we discovered Sunday morning preparation of four kids and four pair of socks and all of that, it just became outrageous. So we were all stressed out trying to get everybody ready, so we did what we could to prep Sunday morning by preparing on Sunday night. Hey, Sunday school teacher, let me tell you something. You Sunday school teachers, you don't study your lesson during the week. You wait till Sunday morning. You try to cram in a little study so you can figure out how to talk and not embarrass yourself in Sunday school. That's not the right way to teach Sunday school. If you would start right, have that lesson prepared in advance. Let Sunday morning be obviously a brief review, but boy, when the Sunday school teacher is looking at their lesson in the parking lot 10 minutes before Sunday school, it's the first time they've looked at it, we stand a chance of having some false doctrine taught somewhere along the way, and not only that, we stand the chance of you being even more boring than what you are when you are prepared. And it would do it all a favor if you might prepare a little bit in advance so you're not so boring in Sunday school. But you start right. You got to start right. Bus routes, you're not supposed to do everything that has to be done for your route right before the route leaves on Sunday morning. Get that thing organized. Take a little stress out of it. Why? It'll give you a better attitude. Starting right helps you to end right. Don't wait until Sunday morning. Hey, and this does not happen here, nor do I want it to happen here, Brother Edwards, in regard to the special music. I don't want people practicing their song for the first time 5 minutes before the service starts and hope to get up here and wing their way through. God deserves better than that. God deserves better than that. Well, now here we practice the songs for weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. Well, you say, why? Because we want God to have the best, and you'll do better for God if you start right. If you start right. Hey, on your way into church, could I recommend? Sometimes you ought to sing on your way into church. Play good music in your vehicle on the way to church. Leave in time to get to church without it being frustrating. It's amazing to me. Sunday morning, the morning of the hypocrites. Everybody around the house, we're leaving, hurry up, hurry up. You know, Dad's out in the drive. Ha, ha. Here come the kids. You don't have your Bible. Well, you don't have your socks. Well, Okay, so we get in the car, and I mean, the kids are punching on each other, and mom's yelling at dad, and dad's yelling at mom, and one's saying, drive faster, and the kids are terrorized and afraid, and we're all mad at each other, and we get to church, and then we go to unload at the church. I mean, you would think that we're just a bunch of animals in the car. Then we unload at church, and you see the preacher walking through the parking lot, and all of a sudden it's like this. Good morning, preacher. God's good. So glad to be with you on the Lord's Day. You know how hard that can be to overcome when you're standing up here? Well, you do. Start right. Hey, start right. Get up in the morning and take some tension out of that thing and get it to start right. Hey, with our children, let's start right with our children. Acts 26:4, the Bible says, my manner of life from my youth. Paul was talking about from his youth he began to learn. Timothy, from his youth, began to learn the things of Christ at every level. And let me say, as more and more babies will be born and placed into that nursery, moms, make sure you bring your kids to church. Don't use your child as an excuse not to come to church. To get them started right. A child needs to start in church. They need to get started. And did you know this, parents? Did you know it doesn't take two parents to wipe the nose of one snotty nose? You say it doesn't? Yeah. Well, I'll watch mom and dad both stay home to take care of one child that's got a runny nose. Your kid's got a big nose. Your children ought to see the importance of Sunday school. They ought to see the importance of church. Look, I could take you folks, I could take you around this auditorium and I could point to some people that did not get saved until later in life, and they would say, I would give anything to be like a bunch of these little ones around here where mom and dad have brought them from the very beginning and got them into church. Their kids got saved early. I could take you to adults that have been through hell in life. They have had tragedy after tragedy in life. And they would say, I wish I would have learned when I was a child. I wish I would have been in Sunday school when I was younger. I wish I would have grown up in the primary choir and the children's choir. And I wish I would have gone to the youth part, but I didn't have that. And folks, start your kids out right. Start them out right. Get them in church. Get them under the sound of the gospel. May I say that it would be good for all of us in regard to work that you start right for your work day. You all know the scripture. The best part of waking up is, well, Dunkin' Donuts in your cup. But hey, we start right. If you want to accomplish something during your day, wake up in the morning and decide what you want to accomplish. I often, people say to me, I don't feel like I got anything done today. I'll say, show me your list. What were you trying to get done? Well, I didn't have a list. Then how did you know what you were trying to accomplish? Well, I don't know what I was trying to accomplish. Well, no wonder you didn't accomplish anything. Maybe you should have got up and decided what you wanted to accomplish so you could have accomplished something. My routine in the morning, I'm very much so a creature of habit. I get up, I say, I love you, Lord. Let's get started. I read my Bible. I pray. Then I'll check my text. I'll check my email. I'll check the news to find out it's going to rain again today. Then I write a list. I carry a list around with me all day long. Every day of my life, 7 days a week, I make a list every day of what I'm going to accomplish today. And I usually get most everything marked off the list. Why? I want to start right. If you want to get something done, you better plan to do something. Start right. Some of you want to get more done at work, show up at work early. Start by being friendly. It's rewarding. Hey. I've got to hurry. Let me tell you, there are people in here, you're approaching retirement years. Start your retirement years right. Don't quit on God. And let me recommend something to you. Say, I can't wait to retire. I'm just gonna lay on my couch 24/7. Now, you might think that's a good idea for retirement, but you may lay on your couch 24/7 and never get up again. You better keep moving. And it's okay to retire from your job, but it's not okay to retire on God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say retire on God. I've loved it through the years. I've watched people retire from their secular jobs, which gave them even more time just to serve God. But let me tell you, retirement is not a time when you become lazy and worthless. That's not what retirement is. You still have life to live. And for your own sake, keep moving, retiree. Keep moving. Find something productive to do with your with your day and with your life. Hey, when it comes to this is down to earth, practical, and then we'll be done. But at the end of your day, when husband and wife come back together, you know, one's been off to work and the other at home, or vice versa. Could I recommend that when you first come right back together at the end of your day, that you start it right? Bible tells us that marriage is honorable. Oh, the husbands have been at work all day and facing the pressures of work, and maybe the wife's been at home, or maybe she's been off at work. Can I recommend to you that when you come back together, you both work very hard to have a good attitude when you come back together? You know how many people come back together at the end of their day and they fuss almost immediately? Why? You're bringing tensions from both areas. Let's say the housewife, she'd been at home. What's she been doing? Kids stuff something down the toilet. It's clogged. And all day long, mom's been at home with the kids. Then it can get a little frustrating. Thank God for moms. Mom's the only creature on the earth that can, you know, child will pick their nose, hold up the boogie, and mom will take it. I mean, they'll just take it. You know, it's just like, it's natural. Dads don't do that. But moms are incredible creatures. But mom's at home and she's under pressure all day long with the kids. Well, dad's at work and under pressure. And if you're not careful, dad comes home after having been under pressure all day. And mom's been under pressure all day, and they meet. And two pressures can equal an explosion if you're not careful. You know what you ought to do? Husbands, if you've been off at work, ladies, if you've been off at work, but when you come back together, it might be a good idea for you to plan to be good to each other when you reunite. If you'll start your time off at the end of your day right, you can have a pleasant evening. But if you don't start it right, you can ruin your evening. This whole thing of starting right. Man and his wife, I'd counseled them for years, and she said to me one day, she said, "Boy, he comes home from work." He said, it's a war. I mean, he comes home and we just virtually have a war. And I got to talking to him. He drove an 18-wheeler in the city of Chicago. And I got to talk to him. And I said, "Man, you know, you come home," and she said, "you're in a bad mood every day." He said, "Brother Owens, if I gave you my truck and let you drive 8 straight hours in Chicago with an 18-wheeler, you'd figure out how easy it is to have a bad day." I said, "I understand that. You got a frustrating job. It's difficult." I said, "Here's what I think you ought to do." I said, you park your rig, you drive home. I said, "There's a park just up the block from your house." I said, "I'd recommend you pull your car over and you sit there for about 15 minutes and you think about the fact that you got a wife at home, and she wasn't the one that tried to run you off the road, and she's not the one that was cussing you, and she's not the one that was mad at you. Relax, because your wife and kids deserve that you be of a decent temperament when you get home. And why go home and turn home into hell? Why don't you go home calm?" I said, "Pull your car over and sit there till you've got yourself under control, so when you get home to her, you start your evening right." He said, "I'll do it." And you know what? It changed their life. He pulled over. He'd spend about 15 minutes. He'd listen to some good music. He would relax. He would take some of the tension off of things. And by the time he got home, he had a good attitude. And ladies, might I recommend this? Let's say you're a housewife and you've been home all day. When your husband gets home, don't tell him every bad thing that happened all day. "Oh, we got this bill." I mean, he walks in the door. You've not combed your hair. You didn't put on your makeup. The house stinks. The house is dirty. And he wanted to come home to something that was clean, both you and it. So he comes home, he's been under stress all day, and the first thing you do is you say, "Well, we got this bill, and we got this bill, and we got this bill, and the toilet's clogged, and then our dog bit the neighbor, or the neighbor bit the dog, and then I've been dealing with this all day long." And you're going to wonder why he wants to get back in his car and go back to work. Could I say, if you start right, your evenings will be a little more pleasant? Hey, I'm done. I want to recommend to everybody here, if you're not saved, get saved. It's a real good start to the rest of your life. A good start to the rest of your life. I credit the victory that David had over Goliath. I really believe David started right. And if you know anything about David, you know that. He started his life well as a young man. David is the one that wrote, "I will seek thee early in the morning." David started right. And the day David fought Goliath, he got up and got ready for the battle. You'll have victory at the end of the day if you start the day in a way that will give you victory. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I will not belabor the invitation. Here's the question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Don't know that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. If you raise your hand, we'll pray for you. I think there'll be someone saved yet this morning. Then, how about this, Christian? You need to start right. Some of you need to start your mornings a little more spiritually. You need to get in that Bible and pray. Some of you need to make Sunday a little more pleasant and not so chaotic. Some of you younger couples, you need to get some things started right. Get those finances under control. Get that routine date in. Be careful. Watch your kids. Get them in church. Keep them in church. Help them to start right. As retirees, start right. Now don't get lazy. Let God use you. Keep moving. Start right. Who here would say, Preacher, tuck somewhere in the sermon today, I was challenged. There are areas in my life I think they would go better if I would just start right. And God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand to the sky and let God see it? Some areas I just need to start right. You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar for any reason, we will welcome you and you may come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? If you need to be saved, you come. Maybe you need to push the reset button in some area of your life. You want that marriage to be a good marriage? Start right. You want that business to be a successful business? Start it right. Start it with God's blessing. Get saved. Get baptized. Join the church. That's start right. Start right. One of the most famous passages and stories in the whole Bible is the victory that David had over Goliath. And not by accident, God said in the scripture, David started right. He started right. There are young people under the sound of my voice. I believe one day you could be a David in our generation and you could help conquer the Goliath of our generation. But that will only happen if in your youth you will be what a David was in his youth. He started right. Young people, don't you decide, I'll wait until I'm old and worthless to do something for God. Do it now. Serve God now. Start right. Start right. This is the last time through the song, and we'll be on our way.